So I will now introduce our next keynote speaker, who is Virginie Haute-Dupuis. I hope that I pronounced that to her liking. Virginie is the Manager External Communications and Philanthropy at L'Oréal Canada. Her main responsibilities are to highlight L'Oréal Canada's best practices and develop L'Oréal Foundation's international philanthropic programs, such as L'Oréal UNESCO for Women in Science, For Girls in Science, Beauty for a Better Life, and several others in Canada. She is here today to discuss the importance of supporting women in science and L'Oréal's role in that support. So please join me in welcoming Virginie.
First of all, I heard some of you guys talk about, you know, the feeling of being an intruder. Well, I totally am, because I am absolutely non-scientific. There is nothing scientific in my background. So, but you'll see why I'm here, hopefully. So I'm here to talk to you today about one of our great programs, which is the L'Oréal UNESCO for Women in Science program, and also a new program that I'm currently working on and that I'm hoping to successfully launch next September, which is the L'Oréal UNESCO for Girls in Science. But first, let's just talk a little bit about me. So this is me in high school, right over there. I just wanted to show you that photo just to tell you that when I was in high school, I was a bit like maybe a few of you, didn't really know what to do. I just know what I really loved and was really passionate about. At the time, I loved reading, I loved writing, so I was thinking about becoming a journalist. So I enrolled in my high school newspaper and loved it. Later on a field trip, we went to New York City and visited the UN, and I saw in one of those little booths over there a translator who was doing live translating of all the speeches in Czechoslovakian and German, and I thought, wow, this is so cool, this is what I want to do. So I decided to pursue my studies and try to learn about translation and linguistics. So I majored in English studies and did a minor in linguistic, had one class of linguistic and said, no way, this is not for me, I am not doing that for the rest of my life. So I changed path and realized at one point that in one of my classes was about communications, and I said, ha, this is what I really like to do, communicating and organizing events and being with people and working on the messages you want to write about. So this is how I decided to pursue my studies in communications. While I was doing that, I was working as a part-time cosmetician at a Shoppers Drug Mart near my house. You're going to say, why is she telling us that? Well, because that part-time job eventually led me to L'Oréal Canada, where I work today. I've been working there for 15 years now, and today I run the foundation programs here in Canada. So this is just to say that sometimes your path can be very eclectic. Sometimes you can just have a part-time job as a cosmetician and end up over there, or over here for the matter, right after, you know, the Prime Minister. So you never know what life can bring to you, especially on a Friday afternoon. So let's talk a little bit about L'Oréal, because maybe you're wondering, what's the link between L'Oréal and women in science? Well, this is Eugene Schueller. He was a chemist, and in 1904, he started working on a new chemical hair dye. It was the first chemical hair dye that was ever created, because at the time, women could only color their hair with henna, with somewhat, sometimes not very satisfying results. So he was working on that. He was passionate about all the chemical formulations and formulas that you could create to actually create a new product. So this is how in 1908 he got his patent and created the first hair dye, which was called at the time L'Oréal. This is how the whole story of L'Oréal started, with a chemist working in his kitchen and trying to find different formulas to color women's hair at the time. So, before I start, can you name one famous woman scientist that you haven't seen this morning? Any names? There you go, exactly, Marie Curie. This is really the first woman of science that anybody can think of. Well, the L'Oréal Foundation did a huge survey across 7 countries last year, European countries, I might add, and everybody could name easily Marie Curie. When they were asked to name a second one, or even a third one, only 28% of the respondents could actually go beyond Marie Curie. Now, can you name more than Marie Curie? Yes. So actually, the results of this study were very shocking, because this is not the only question we asked. We asked many different questions, and this, I'll talk to you about the results just a bit later, but this is basically why we created the L'Oréal UNESCO for Women in Science program. It was basically a bit like Natalie was wishing earlier, to put women scientists out there on stages, in the media, to interview them, to give them visibility about their work, but also visibility and understanding of their career path. What brought them to become worldwide renowned scientists? Just to talk a little bit about the program, just so you know, it's a bit like a pyramid. There is a top prize, which is 100,000 euros, and it's a bit the equivalent of a Nobel Prize, so it's a career achievement type of prize. We had two Canadians who won those prizes. I'll show them to you later. And the second level, the mid-level, is called the International Rising Talents, and these are postdoctoral researchers, women of course, who have made significant difference in their research field. And finally, the last level of the pyramid are all the national fellowships. The program exists in 57 L'Oréal countries. Canada is one of them. And I'll talk to you a little bit about the Canadian program. These were my fellows from last year. And one of them, I was telling my colleague right there, is Michelle Annett, who studied in computer science. Another one is was studying in biology. So it's all sorts of different fields. And we award them every year. The ceremony is held at the French Embassy in Ottawa. And they often, it's often their first time to actually talk to a wide audience and media as well about their research program. So it's always a fun evening that we conduct every year. So these were the women I was talking to you earlier. So ever since the program was created in 1998, two Canadians have won international prizes. Luckily enough, it was last year, both of them. So we had Dr. Moili Choiquet. She's a university professor at the University of Toronto. And she basically got her prize because she invited the hydrogel. Now, the hydrogel, she describes it herself as being a little bit of sort of a space suit for drug delivery, sort of in a jello form, or she calls it also the FedEx delivery system, so she can deliver drugs directly into the spinal cord. Because before her discovery, all you could do for spinal cord injury was to either have topical or oral medication, but often it wasn't really pinpointing exactly where you wanted it to be. So she was able to discover a new way to deliver that drug. Another winner is Dr. Vanessa DaCosta. She's also from U of T. She studies at the Toronto Hospital for Sick Children, and she studies why, to this day, we are becoming more and more resistant to antibiotics. So it's a very important field of research as well. I have a little video. It'll show you a few of the winners from everywhere around the world, but it also they will tell you sort of the challenges that they have faced. Some of them are not necessarily from Canada, they're from all over the world, so they've faced different challenges in their life.
When I was a teenager, a school teacher said to me, "What's a nice girl like you doing going into science?"
When I decided to do my PhD in the United States and leave Egypt alone, unmarried, some people told me, but you'll come back 30 or 40 years old, you won't find a husband, and you have wasted your life.
Each year I do 3 weeks of fieldwork, and I often get the question, how can you do that to your children? I would never be able to do that. And for that I get the feeling that, okay, I think you're actually a bad mother.
A society where only men do science can only do half of the science that is possible when women are also involved. I'm Adriana Murray. I recently finished my PhD in quantum biology, and I'm one of the candidates to become one of the first Earthlings to move to Mars.
I'm Sine Norman. I'm an ecologist working on the impact of climate change on biodiversity.
My name is Nurten Abdeltaweb, and I work on immunogenetics of infectious disease.
My name is Elizabeth Blackburn. In 2009, I won the Nobel Prize for Medicine or Physiology. Less than 3% of Nobel Prizes in the sciences are awarded to women. Change the numbers.
Join the movement.
Help us change the numbers.
Join the movement.
We're counting on you.
So basically, what they were talking about is what we call the leaky pipeline. So within the studies that we've conducted, we found that up until high school, there's no really difference between men and women, or boys and girls, that are interested in science. It's really when you start going to college and university that the gap really, really widens. And then as you go to doctorate or even postdoctorate, then the gap really, really widens up until the Nobel Prizes. Only 3% of women in the world in history have gotten Nobel Prizes. And I think it's completely unfair. And why not have half of the population contribute to the future of the world and the future of the planet? So minds are changing. So this is a story of Charlotte Benjamin, age 7. She visited a Lego store with her mom, and she actually wrote to Lego because she was very scandalized because all the girl Lego were portrayed, you know, at home, working with the kids, or shopping, or doing a singing at a concert, and none of them were really doing cool, fun stuff like the guy Legos who were, you know, shark fighting and going on adventures. So she wrote to the Lego company, and last summer of 2015, they launched the first lab set featuring women in science. So I think mentalities are changing, and if there are more Charlotte in the world that can write to these companies and actually encourage them to showcase different types of scenarios, we might get there one day to get really 50-50 women in science and men. So I don't know if you've ever heard these types of sentences. I hope not, but maybe you have, or maybe you will throughout your life. I think we talked about it a lot this morning, but when we did the survey, actually 67% of Europeans thought that women lacked the skills to become high-level scientists. Now, that is horrible. How could people could actually think that? Unfortunately, they do. When they were asked what types of science position women could held, they were told, nurses or positions like that, which are not bad at all, but why not aim higher? I think that the people that you've seen today and that you've heard of today have certainly overcome these types of stereotypes and hopefully will go on to have successful and impactful career paths. Now, one of the problems is that whenever we portray geeks or science women on TV or in movies, it's often women that are like poor Amy in The Big Bang Theory. Now, we love her, she's very funny, but it's also, in a way, sort of building that stereotype because people portray geeks not necessarily as we would have this morning, but more like her. But there are trendy techies out there. We just have to find them and give them the visibility they need so everybody can like them. There have been a few campaigns online. If you Google Sci-Lebrities, it's an organization called Into the Void Science, and they actually asked celebrities to talk about their path. Did you know that Natalie Portman actually had two studies published in science publications? She actually wrote two science papers, and she's a Harvard graduate. So it's sometimes with campaigns like that, you can really get other types of models that can be inspiring. Now, science is about not only one or two or three types of careers, as you could see today, but it's really about a gazillion. There are a gazillion possibility, and it's, I guess, just up to you to ask questions, to Google, to talk to people you see, and to try to be curious about everything. So just to come back to the programs, we have created, as I said, the For Women in Science program, and now this year, it's already been launched in France last year, but I'm launching For Girls in Science, especially to provide role models and to provide mentoring to high school girls just like you. So what the program is actually having all the fellows that have won the L'Oréal UNESCO Fellowship, but also other mentors or girls, science girls that are out there and that are willing to participate in the program, have them come in high school classes and talk about their career path. Not necessarily talk about their research field, but really about everything we talked about today. So what they've overcome, the challenges they had to face, and it's really to also demystify a bit what is a day as a scientist. It's not necessarily a day in a dark lab. It can be many, many things. So that's really the objective of the program.
One day, Eva will be a geneticist and will work on the aging of cells. As for Chloe, she'll be an astrophysicist and will make amazing discoveries about black holes. Zelia will study the mechanisms of plant survival. And Mylin will be an astronaut. Belly will earn a scholarship to study Gemini viruses transmitted by insects. And Yasmin, well, she'll win a Nobel Prize, but we don't know which one yet. Because science needs women, the L'Oréal Foundation is committed to encouraging the girls of today to become the scientists of tomorrow. L'Oréal Foundation.
I hope that today was really an inspiring day. I hope that with all the women, the wonderful women you've seen this morning, and even Prime Minister Trudeau encouraging you to pursue science and careers in science, I really invite you to go out there, search what's out there. There are loads of programs such as the ones that L'Oréal has. You can actually Google these hashtags. Change the Number campaign is the study we conducted with all the results that I gave. There are much more results that are as shocking. I also invite you to visit the Discover blog. It's a great blog. It's where I got that Lego story. It's blogs about women in science and girls in science, and it's featuring great profiles of women scientists from around the world. I invite you to go on YouTube as well for the L'Oréal UNESCO for Women in Science channel. There are loads of videos that you can watch and listen to and hopefully be inspired, because girls can do it too. Thank you.